As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
This is what it's all about. We do daily podcasts for like 2.5 weeks during training camp.
We got all kinds of time for guests and nonsense.
I will open up a 2-hour block.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Tuesday afternoon. We've got two practices to talk about. Sunday's practice, which was fine, but Tuesday's practice, today's practice. The Eagles put the pads on. It's football season. It finally felt like football. Zach, your hair looks great. I'm interested to see how that could possibly be the case. How are you?
Doing well. Excited for this pod. A lot to talk about football-wise. And also, I saw in the chat, it's a reminder that the MLB trade deadline comes up.
Yes, I was going to say, Zach, this is an anniversary episode yes. for us. This is an important moment in Birds with Friends history. This is the one-year anniversary of you not listening to what I was saying because of Logan O'Hop.
Which actually turned out to be a huge trade. Brandon Marsh is a key piece for the Phillies. Logan O'Hop's a key piece for the Angels. And before we came on, Verlander was traded back to the Astros. I saw Drew Gilbert's in that trade. So I'm still kind of I'm waiting to get info, but a lot to discuss here with the Eagles.
Yeah, I might make a trade for Verlander in my NL-only league. His stats will still count, but obviously the team that has him can't keep him. So, you know, we could use that little boost. I don't know if I could fit him into the salary cap. We can get into that later if you want. But, yeah, big okay. big moment, big anniversary in Birds with Friends lore, I would say.
I don't know about a big one, but a lot to talk about from the football team today.
There's a Phillies trade so that I can just see if you're paying attention.
You were a big deal at practice.
What do you mean? I was a big deal at practice. Shiel was at practice today, and the one thing he told us is that, boy, was Zach a big deal today at practice. No. Everywhere he went, people are like, where's Zach? I want to see Zach. All the people are coming up to say hi to Zach. Don't deflect this on me.
In your case, it's more the among the dignitaries, right? It's you and Shiel, you and Peter King.
What are you talking about? First of all, two things. How dare you call the people coming up to you not dignitaries? Second of all, you had much more FaceTime with Peter King than I did. You went out of your way to go have a nice conversation with him on your way out of practice. You are projecting of the highest order here right now.
All right, let's talk football.
All right, well then let's send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman, Zach Berman, on the scene, freshly coiffed.
The Eagles were back on the practice field on Tuesday with pads. The first time they were wearing pads this summer. Not much in terms of big news. Since we spoke last, Deion Kane added to the injury report with an ankle injury. Derek Barnett, Avante Maddox, Hassan Reddick remain limited. Hassan Reddick's doing more work. Hassan Reddick spoke after practice, essentially said, put some respect to my name. That if you don't think he's one of the top five edge rushers in the NFL, then you don't know football. He was also asked about his contract. If you recall, we discussed this a bit last week. Hassan Reddick said that, let me get the exact quote here so I don't mess it up. He was asked if he's underpaid, considering his salary is not among the top 10 at his position. And he said, you all see it. You all see what's going on. I'm worried about being the best version of myself, and then everything will sort itself out. But Hassan Reddick is out there on the field. Other than that, not much to discuss. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Zach, what did you make of Hassan Reddick's comments? Do you think he wants a new deal? Do you think he's like, is this a hold-in?
I don't think it's a hold-in. I think, look, we discussed on the last pod at, last week rather, that it's pretty rare to redo a deal after 1 year. So there's not much precedent there. Would it surprise me if the Eagles did something cosmetic to it, right? Kind of to help out both sides. It wouldn't shock me there. When you look at edge rushers in the NFL and you look at Hassan Reddick's talent, and it was production rather, it's pretty clear he should be paid among the top 10, but he signed the deal when he did, right? That he was a free agent twice. He signed what the market offered or what he wanted on the open market, and he'll be a free agent again in 2 years. I'm curious to see he is a premium player for the Eagles. I think our intra-squad draft showed that he's one of the elite players on the team. He's one of the elite players in the league, and he thinks as much. He said he doesn't need to prove anything to anybody anymore. He said when you speak about Hassan Reddick, you know, you speak about him being one of the best. So I don't think this is a hold in. I think he'll recover, but I am curious to see if the Eagles do anything to his deal.
How often do you speak in the third person?
Never speaking in third person.
You want to try it out? You want to do an episode where we both speak in the third person?
You know what? Sometimes actually I'll say to the kids, like your dad, you know, like you don't say hello to your dad, right? Or something like that, you know?
That's a little different, yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the extent.
When you're a Zach Berman, you know, when you're a sports writer of the year, you expect your children to say hi to you, give you some gosh darn respect as you walk in the door.
All right. I appreciate that. My kids are amazing. Yeah.
No one's disparaging your children except for you. Okay. So Zach, we didn't pod on Sunday. So we have two practices to talk about, but I don't know that much happened Sunday. I think to frame this conversation moving forward, you had a little idea. Let's lean into some Zach show running.
Well, okay. I thought we were going to discuss today's practice.
We're going to do a little Quackus report first, and then
yes, yeah. Okay. Let's hit the prep, and then we can. Right. Discuss
well, this was. I mean, this was great. Well. We finally got the pads on. I would say the two highlights, and the number one highlight is we finally got some O-line, D-line, one-on-one.
Oh yeah, that's Bo music right there.
Football guy stuff. The music of the summer. The pads popping. Yeah. Fantastic. And I would have to say, knowing that this drill is very much weighted towards the defense, you know, it's very much in the defense's favor. The offensive line crushed the defensive line in this drill. And you're waiting to see, you know, how Jalen Carter do and how Jordan Davis does and Nolan Smith. Now, Nolan Smith had a good rep, but his only rep came against Jim Okorafor. So you take that with a grain of salt. The offensive line did a great job. Tyler Steen held up Jalen Carter. That was a win. Like I would say of the first 10 reps, now they go down the line. So it's first team right tackle, first team right guard, first team center, all down the line, then second team right. Of the first 10 reps, so the first two teams, I had it as one win for the defense. So a good start for Jeff Stoutland's group. And I got to say, I mean, it's two reps. I'm not going to make anything of it. But just to say it for the record, Jalen Carter, like, just okay in the one-on-ones today. That's all.
Which under, well, like non-starting offensive lineman jumped out to you, number one? And then I asked this question partly in jest, but partly honestly, do Jeff Stoutland and Roy Eastman, do they wait to start until you're there? Do they look over and say, Bo, we want to make sure you're watching because you are the O-line, D-line guy?
Well, that's only partly in jest. I mean, you actually think that they would do that? No. Of the non-starting linemen, Tyler Steen, I thought, looked the best because he had the toughest assignments and he did very well. And I do think that we may be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit on Cam Jurgens as the right guard because, no, I mean, I still think he's going
to be the
right
guard. You're playing both sides here.
No, but, you know, we're getting messages like Howie said that Cam Jurgens was going to be the right guard in the spring. Okay, first of all, that was before the draft. Second of all, they drafted Tyler Steen, who played left tackle in college, right? And he is taking every single one of his reps at right guard. Okay. So it is not like this is not a competition, not a thing. Like Tyler Steen is only practicing at right guard. Now, part of that is because if Jason Kelsey goes down, presumably Cam Jurgens goes to center, and then you need Tyler Steen to play right guard. But they also have Jack Driscoll who can play right guard. It's not like they have no other options there. They could be testing Tyler Steen at left tackle or at left guard. So I think the fact, like just because Cam Jurgens is taking every rep doesn't mean that it's necessarily over, that it's not a competition. Like, I think Tyler Steen is very much involved here. I think it will eventually go to Jurgens just because of the draft pedigree and it's his second year and some of those things, but I don't think that it's over.
That's I all. Agree. Yeah. I think Jurgens is the front runner, right? I mean, this is not a competition in the way it was
left tackle
2 years ago. But this is still – there's a lot of football left to be played. And today's really like the first day when they really get a strong look at the offensive line. Mm. Not to dismiss those first three practices, but, you know, you're judging technique. Tyler Steen had a few false starts those first few days, so he has to get his timing down. But there are a few weeks here to go. Joint practices with Cleveland and Indianapolis. Steen's going to play in the preseason. Right. So there's going to be a lot for them to figure out with Steen. I don't think this is determined yet either.
No, I also thought Jurgens did a good job in that drill against Fletcher Cox. So credit to him. And then he later did a good job against Jalen Carter. So, you know, I think Jurgens is probably going to be the guy. He spoke after practice. You know, he said he didn't want to say exactly how much weight he's put on, but he's put on a little bit of weight. He's about 300. So, you know, I asked him the classic sports writer, you know, how do you go about putting on weight? What's your method? And he said, just eat whatever looks good, whatever tastes good. He said he had two ribeyes last night from Charles in the cafeteria. He said, makes a mean ribeye.
Jealous. I love a ribeye.
What's your favorite steak? You could have one steak for your last meal. What would it be?
Oh, I like a strip, right? Like a New York strip.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I mean, I really enjoy steak, so it's a steak of all cuts. I'd say I'm indiscriminate. What was I gonna say? I think our profession is one of the only ones where it's socially acceptable to ask someone like, "How much weight did you put on? How many? What do you weigh now?" Yeah, could you imagine any line of work where they're like, "Oh, you added weight." Yeah.
Welcome to being a woman in society, Zach.
Do people ask women how much weight did you add?
I feel like there are lots of side comments. Yeah, probably.
I don't know what circles you're hanging out in that they ask women how much weight they added. Have you ever heard a woman asked how much weight did you put on?
Have you ever been a woman, Zach?
No, I have not. I think you're going to lose this one. I don't think
you don't think that women go through life hearing every now and then side comments about like you've gained or lost weight?
I don't think in a professional environment people ask women.
They shouldn't be, but they absolutely do.
Do they?
Are you nuts?
Okay. I guess I am. I didn't think that occurs, but I guess I am. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's not the way that you operate. I trust you to handle your business, but aren't you the one? You had this whole thing about whether a woman was pregnant or not. And when she was very pregnant.
Yeah. I never would ever ask a woman if she's pregnant, because that's like the closest one gets to that question when you mention something about being pregnant. And if for some reason they're not pregnant, I would never bring up pregnancy unless it's brought up to me first.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, to the point that the story Bo's referring to is there was a coworker one time who was pregnant, and Emily saw on you know Facebook or Instagram, whatever it was, and said, "Did you congratulate her?" And I was like, "No, I'm not gonna say anything." And she's like, "It's rude. Now she's like 8 months pregnant." Yeah, so that was the reference by Bo. Mm.
Accidentally wrote Trevor Reed as Justin Reed in my practice notes, so I had to fix that with Josiah.
Good catch, Josiah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Otherwise, from one-on-ones, I thought Milton Williams did an okay job. None of the down roster linemen gave me that little sparkle in my eye that I was looking for.
Oh, for the crush.
I didn't get just a little flash from any of the down roster guys. Trevor Reed's been on my radar. I thought that he might be a possibility. And I thought maybe I was hoping Noah Ellis would do something for me. Not yet.
Is there a reason why the Cam crush is disproportionately offensive linemen and safeties?
Well, that's what I was talking about. I was mentioning that today. So there have been five official Cam crushes, yes. Two offensive linemen, two safeties, one wide receiver. There is a part of me that would like to maybe expand to a different position, but the heart wants what the heart wants. And,
you know, I
watch a lot of offensive line, but I don't know that it's going to come from there this year. There is a down roster safety who I do think is actually kind of a little bit interesting. Tristan McCollum is on my radar a little bit, I would say. I think the corners are like, I was expecting that maybe one of those guys would pop. Mekhi Garner is definitely feisty, and he had the biggest hit of practice today. Tanner McKee threw sort of a hospital ball to Charleston Rambo, and Mekhi Garner lit him up and had a nice little celebration. He's been feisty. I like the feistiness. I'm not willing to, put my name on him just yet. The linebacker has not really seen it there. I do got to tell you, this is not a Camp Crush thing, but I got to say, if we're talking about, and maybe this is for your segment later, but things that have changed our opinion over the first week or so. Today was his worst day of practice, and so I am less in on it than I was heading into the day. But I kind of like Tanner McKee.
Yeah, you mentioned that on the previous pod. That's interesting.
I think I just mentioned it to you in person. Did I? Did I say that?
Yes. No, you're right. He said that's the thing this time of year. You conflate conversations with I am curious because you did take in practice with Shield, which is not a surprise. The two of you reunited and it felt so good.
I was where I was. He came over to me.
It's like it's like when you go to your high school reunion and you see your old high school flame, right? You're continuing that conversation, right? So
I think it's a little different. I mean,
I don't know. You guys were.
There's a little bit less sexual tension, no sexual tension, but a little bit less. And I would say you're not. It doesn't feel like you're stepping out on somebody. It's just a person.
No,
I mean, you were in the throuple.
I was to this. Actually, if someone said to me, "What do you think Bo and Shield are talking about over there?" I would probably say, who knows the third most football here.
Yeah, I know. Right? I knew you were going to do. You were going to use your line. Who is that? Steve Politi.
Put some respect to his name.
Okay.
So I bring up Shield.
Tell the story. Tell you. Give the.
I can't. That's off the record. Yeah. I can't.
Oh. Okay. Steve Politi saw two writers in the press box who shall not be named. They were talking to each other, and somebody said, "What do you think they're talking about?" And he said, "Who the third best?"
I said, "What do you think they're talking about?" Yeah. And he said, like in stride right away, who the third best writer in the press box is.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
When Shield was at the practice in the spring, Mekhi Garner popped then too, or flashed, whatever verb you want to use. And I remember him asking me, what's the story with this Mekhi Garner guy? He's got some juice. And so now Shield comes again and Garner makes a play Do you want to fill our audience?
Like a because big Peter King MoMA situation. Peter King was there today. Yeah.
I do feel as if sometimes when we talk about the undrafted guys, you know, some of the sickos know.
Yes. Yeah. We need to. We probably need to do a better job of.
Yeah. But Mekhi Gardner.
McCollum is, as I say his name.
Yes.
Zion's twin brother. Everybody knows that. Yes. Mekhi Gardner from LSU.
Via Louisiana, right?
Transferred. Via Louisiana, transferred for his final year. Started. He's, let me see what his actual measurements are.
I think he's 6'2", 212. Is that right?
Oh, if you get that, that's going to be very impressive.
I hope I get
it. Wow, 6'2", 212. Good for you. Do you have the whole roster memorized?
Not the whole roster memorized, but...
Jaden Hazelwood.
I don't have that one for you. I looked up Gardner today when he had to hit. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I wanted to, so it's fresh in my head.
That was a bad throw from
Ian Book. It was
McKee. He threw him right.
That's right. Number 10. Yeah,
it was a real hospital ball. Yeah, right. And McKee was a little bit slow to get the ball out and a couple other drills too. So not his best day. Yeah. I think Garner's feisty. The secondary is interesting. You know, as we see how Desai runs things, but just the rotation of things. So Avante Maddox still limited. And that means that in team drills, it has been mostly Zach McPherson as the first team nickel. And then lately, the past two practices, Mario Goodrich, the second year corner from Clemson, has been the second team nickel. And Josiah Scott has dropped all the way down to the third team. So not a good sign for Josiah Scott's chances of being on the roster. And then at safety, it has been Reed Blankenship with the ones every day and sort of a bit of a rotation between Terrell Edmonds and Kayvon Wallace. They split those reps in different drills today. And Sidney Brown has still mostly been with the threes, but every now and then he gets bumped up to the twos to play next to. And today he got to play next to Edmonds, which is interesting because, you know, it's like these are the twos, but this is a potential starting tandem. I do think that we talked about it in the last podcast. My turkeys are still very much on Blankenship being a starter, but it's interesting. And Kayvon Wallace had an interception today on a really bad Marcus Mariota throw. Do you think that Kayvon Wallace is like in the mix here to potentially start, Zach, or do you think this is just rotating through?
Oh, I'm going to save that for the next segment because that's one of my, ooh, that's one of my prompts.
What, yeah. So
that's a good tease. Yep.
Okay. The highlight play of practice came in the last team session when Jalen Hurts sat back and hoisted a 50 or 60 or so deep pass down the middle of the field right into the breadbasket of A.J. Brown with James Bradbury right behind him. Beautiful throw, beautiful catch, big score. Where were your eyes on that? Or did you choose not to watch that one because your boy had gotten beat?
No, of course I watched that one. So this is kind of a big picture takeaway to this. And I wrote this in the practice report from Sunday, and I feel even stronger about it now, right? We're at a point where we kind of take for granted Jalen Hurts' performances in practice. You know, if you think to last year, the way Jalen's played the past, you know, two sessions in particular – would be like the biggest story, especially if this happened 2 years ago. Obviously, Jalen had the year he had last year. He's a franchise quarterback, treated as such, compensated as such, however you want to frame it. And it's like this is almost the standard now. This is what's expected, but it shouldn't be taken for granted that he's looked really good throughout the summer, I feel like. And A.J. Brown, too, last year – I mean, we had so many of these pods where it's like, man, this guy is awesome. This guy is awesome. And he does AJ Brown things every single day. And it's not the headline every single day because it's the two of them together. And, you know, Devontae makes plays every day. You know, you see things from Dallas Goedert each day where you're just like, he's just so solid. But to your question, I saw AJ Brown do what he's done this entire summer. Like, I was watching one-on-ones when you were watching O-line, D-line one-on-ones, and these passes to AJ, he just catches everything. He catches everything, even if he's covered. He's so strong. He's got strong hands. And yeah, both of them. But the thing with AJ too, and I keep bringing up Shield. Credit to Shield for this though, because we have talked about it on this pod, but he had all the numbers. He did a pod with Ryan Russillo when he was talking about the top five players at each position. And
this is the second time you've plugged that specific podcast. I think two is probably enough.
Yeah, probably. And he had AJ a little higher than Ryan did. And he was talking about how
– where did Shield have him?
I think he had him three maybe. Okay. I don't want to misquote. And he was talking about how, like, as a deep threat, AJ's numbers are crazy. And people don't necessarily think that. But we saw last year, you know, I think about the thing that comes to my head first is that Chicago game. But even, you know, the Tennessee game, the Pittsburgh game, right? I see all these the big plays in my head. The Super Bowl, yeah. He's not known as like this, you know, 4-2, 4-3 guy. Like you think of the big speedsters. But he is such a threat downfield. And we saw that again today in the play that you mentioned.
Yeah, I don't – this is like – these guys are all three of these guys are so good. And so of course they're good at this and all receivers who are good at this to some degree, but I think it does stand out the way that AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are all really good in their own ways of manipulating and taking advantage of space. What are you smiling at?
There's some breaking news.
did the Phillies make a trade?
They did. Yeah.
But oh, what do we got? They get Ho Hop back?
According to... According to John Morosi from the MLB Network, and I apologize if this is reported elsewhere, too. This is just what someone texted me. Tigers are close to trading Michael Lorenzen to the Phillies. Infield prospect, Hayo Lee... Hayo Lee, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, is part of the proposed return heading to Detroit.
What can you tell me about Lorenzen, Zach? He's in the AL, so I'm not up to date.
31 years old, I believe. Let me pull that up because 31 years old because I looked him up recently. Michael Lorenzen is he was an all-star with the Tigers this year. Let's see, 5-7, 3.58 ERA. He has. You know, 7 Ks per 9 innings. You know, he's been around. He came up with the Reds, was with the Angels last year. So with the Tigers this year. So it gives them a depth starter. I kind of knew him for a long time as a reliever, which he was in Cincinnati. I believe the Angels made him a starter last season.
Two questions. So, one, is it Michael Lorenzen or is it Lorenzen Michael?
It's Michael Lorenzen.
Okay. And two, on your scale of Brandon Marsh for Logan O'Hop, is this above or below it?
Need to see the prospects involved, but this would be below it. I mean, this would definitely be below it.
Feels like they still need a right-handed bat, don't you think?
Well, they can use a left fielder for sure. So if he bats righty, that's even better. But yeah, I still think they can make those moves.
You think they're not done? At 2.5
Trader
hours
Dave? The deadline. No.
Why did they move the deadline to the 1st?
Because you always do it on the 31st, right? Yeah. Why did they do that? That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
There's got to be a reason, right? It seems very dumb.
I imagine. I don't have the answer for you.
Okay.
Maybe our audience can come. I don't mean to interrupt you on the
you interrupted me, and I don't think I'm going to do my whole thing on the space now.
Tell me about it.
No, I just think it stands out, and they do it in different ways, right? Like Dallas Goedert is so good at the yards after the catch. We know that's like his superpower, but like the way that Devontae is so good at understanding his space, where the openings are on the defense, but also, you know, the way he contorts his body and the way he's so aware of the sideline. Like, I don't remember anybody being as good on the sideline that I've ever seen as he is. And then with AJ, it's a lot of it is like the personal space, like the way that he is able to just get inside of a receiver or just over top a cornerback, not a receiver, like just get inside on those slants or on those deep balls, like just get himself in just the right position. on top of the corner. I don't know that it's this is some elucidating thing here, but all these guys are so good in their like specific ways, and that's why Quez Watkins is not great, right? And they need him to do better, and they need more from him. But the idea of having that like fourth most important eligible receiver, a guy who can just stretch the space of the defense, I think makes a lot of sense. I don't know.
Yeah. But it is something. No, you're absolutely right. Although I think, and this goes back to what I was saying before, I think sometimes we make too big a deal of like the Quez Watkins performances in camp, so to speak. And I frame it this way because when you're there every day, you have a better pulse on the team than someone who just does a drive-by, if you will, right? But if you just did a drive-by and you just watched them, you leave practice being like, oh man, AJ Brown is so good, right? Devontae Smith is so good. And so sometimes we kind of, lose sight of the fact that the guys who are really going to determine whether they win or lose games, Jalen, AJ, Devontae, they've looked awesome this summer. I think that's a good sign for the Eagles.
And to your earlier point, just to circle back, I mean, Jalen has looked very good. I think there have been some times where it seems like, maybe the ball could have been out sooner. He has done a lot of rolling out and throwing the ball, and without seeing the full picture that he's seeing, it's hard to know whether that's true or not. I think that would be the one complaint. But he hasn't. He hasn't turned the ball over at all once, right?
That's true. He has not. Yeah, he has not thrown an interception.
Remember, he threw an interception to Marcus Epps on the first day of practice last summer. Mm-hmm. Hasn't thrown one yet so far.
Well, that's Marcus Epps, of course. So
yeah, of course.
He had the gym.
I think you're right. I think on offense that is definitely the case. I'm not so sure that we've seen that on defense. That the very best players have been outstanding.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Other than, you're going to laugh when I say this, I think Josh Sweat's been really good this summer.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I think he's been good. Yeah. I'm more just like the gassing up of Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis that I've seen elsewhere. I'm not ready to go there just yet.
No, I think there's confirmation bias to that too. Yeah. Right. Like you're, we talked about this the other day. You watch Jordan Davis.
Pass, like.
Yeah, exactly. But, just as Josh Sweat's had plays to blown dead this year where or this summer when they would have been sacks. But there was an example today, Marcus Mariota rolling to the left side and Sweat chasing him down. And you just see like the way Sweat moves for someone at that size. There are few players in the league like that. So, I'd be bullish on Josh Sweat.
Yeah, we know that. Okay. All right. Why don't we take our little break, Zach? We'll come back and do the ZB-led portion of the show.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Welcome.
Oh sorry.
I thought I was taking it.
I didn't realize you were going to take it from the jump. Go ahead. Sorry. Right.
Welcome back to Birds with Friends, this Tuesday edition of the podcast about the Eagles training camp. They had their pads on today. I'm Zach Berman here with Bo Wolf. And we are going to do something called the training camp debrief. And what the training camp debrief is,
Pelican debrief, just
Pelican debrief. I want to know, what opinion did you have going into training camp that has changed through 1 week, four practices? What opinion did you have going into training camp that has been fortified through 1 week, four practices? And what opinion remains to be seen? Still too early for you to feel one way or the other about it. Bo, you first.
Okay. I will start with, I guess, sorry, I should have been more prepared. I should have had my answers.
It wouldn't be Birds with Friends like if we were prepared.
I think that one opinion that has, I don't know that this has changed because I didn't have high expectations. But I would say heading into camp, I was thinking, okay, you know, Marcus Mariota is a pretty good backup quarterback. That should be fine. He's been so bad. And not like, you know, we're not talking Clayton Thorson level bad here. But it's first of all, it's like a very joyless experience. He's been doing a lot of running the ball. And some of them, like a lot of those have been called runs, which... okay, that's fine. I don't know how productive that is for everybody else on the field, but there's a lot of plays where like he's rolling out and he tucks in and runs, and that I think is unproductive, like just get rid of the ball. But he makes some wildly bad throws. He makes some really bad decisions. The two interceptions he's thrown, one today to Kayvon Wallace, one to Christian Ellis, I think on the first day of practice, were just like he didn't see the field at all. I think he could certainly do worse as a backup quarterback. I gotta look up what his contract numbers are exactly, but like I don't think that the Eagles like hit a home run with Marcus Mariota. I don't think he's gonna be pulling a Nick Foles at any point. I get that there is some, and we've talked about this before, and it's part of the reason like you know I killed the Flacco signing. Like I think there is some benefit to having a guy who can run a similar type of offense to Jalen Hurts. It's nice that he could probably do that. I would hope that we don't have to see him play this season.
So I'm not pushing back on that because Marcus Mariota has not looked good. And for those who watched, I think it was episode 5 of Quarterback.
I want you to tell me a little bit about, yeah, what you learned about Mariota from that show.
I learned that he can build a crib better than me.
Did he build it or did he put it together? He didn't like build carve the wood by himself.
Oh no, he didn't carve the wood. No, but he was screwing him in. Yeah, he was putting it together. I found him to be a likable guy. I didn't find him to be particularly dynamic, right? When, you know, Mark Sanchez, for instance, is a quarterback that comes to mind where, like, Mark Sanchez just had a dynamic personality when he was with the other players, right? Mariota, he didn't come off that way. As a he prepares hard, but, you know, I bring up episode 5 because that was the episode, I believe it was episode 5, the episode when he got benched. And he, you know, they showed the string of interceptions, the Washington game. But the one that jumped out, they had a great – they were behind Mariota when he did it, is the Pittsburgh game. He throws this interception to Minkah Fitzpatrick where, look, I would never suggest playing quarterback. Like, I can tell you what it's like to play quarterback. And there's a million – things are happening so quickly. There's a million things going on. And I don't know what was going on with the receiver on that play, but he threw a pass to Minkah Fitzpatrick when you're like, there is not a Falcon within sight here. I believe that was episode 5, but he hasn't been good. And I expected him to be better because I really gave that signing a high mark. So I think this is someone who's led a team to the playoffs, has been a starter, has been a backup. Like you said, he can move. He has experience with staff. But my the thing you brought up, Nick Foles, the summer of 2017, Nick Foles was either injured or bad. Nick Foles was not good.
Been a week. It's been 4 practices. It's a new system. The entirety of his, you know, NFL experience certainly matters more than what we've seen so far. It's just it's been underwhelming.
Yeah, like I recall writing stories in 2017 because, you know, should you be concerned about Foles? And then Foles goes on and he becomes a Super Bowl MVP and he's a Philadelphia legend. He has a statue outside the building. So, yeah, time will tell. It's camp, but it hasn't been encouraging thus far.
I think that's right. Okay. What's your opinion that has changed over the first week of camp?
So I thought Sidney Brown was really going to be like right there as a top guy with safeties. But the part of it that's changed is, man, they like Kayvon Wallace more than I expected. I would not have guessed that Kayvon Wallace would be taking first team snaps during camp. I would not expect that we'd be a week in and Kayvon Wallace would be so clearly ahead of Sidney Brown. I expected Blankenship and Edmonds to be the top two going into camp, and I thought Brown would get mixed in. I thought Brown would very clearly be the third guy there in quick order. It's been Wallace, the third guy. Justin Evans has been ahead of Sidney Brown. That surprised me, frankly. I really thought they were going to – if you said to me who was the best chance of starting among the rookies, now Jalen Carter is – I guess I'd probably say Jalen Carter.
I mean,
Carter,
if we did the exact exercise we did last episode where it was which of the safeties do you think is most likely to start?
Yeah, exactly.
It was Sidney Brown, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, that has surprised – so I guess 2 parts here. It surprised me that Sidney hasn't been pushed up the depth chart so quickly. And surprised me, I almost looked at Kayvon as an afterthought at this point. And it seems at least through a week that they like him here.
All right, I will play devil's advocate now.
Okay.
I think you have to take into account like the roster pecking order. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, rookies start at the bottom, they start on the third team. And from the top down, you know, guys who have been here are always going to get shots. So even though Kayvon Wallace has had a pretty disappointing run through 3 years, and not super disappointing, I mean, he was a 4th-round pick. He's contributed when he's been healthy. He's been a core special teamer. He's been fine. I think there were higher expectations from some people, but I think he's basically hit on what the draft pick value should be. All of that stuff takes time. I think you have to see how it, give it a little bit of time. I think it will probably change over the course of the next week or so. I mean, the only rookies who are getting real time with the ones at all are Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter. And part of that's because Hassan Reddick's injured. Yeah. And you know, there are only so many bodies at defensive tackle, right? Like, I think it's a little bit interesting that Kayvon Wallace has been rotating with Terrell Edmonds, but I think that's also partly because Edmonds is new. I think that's part of the reason that Blankenship hasn't been rotating, because he was here last year and he was a part-time starter. I think if you were to look at each position, how the snaps are being doled out, the reps are being doled out through the first week, I think it would track pretty closely to like guys who have been here get the first shot.
That's a very fair point. I have no response to that. It's just, I guess, going into camp, you know, when I say what I thought we'd be talking
about. They're not hot-shotting him to the role, yeah.
Yes, and I thought they would be, frankly. So I will take an early L there, but I still think he's gonna play a big role this season.
Okay,
I haven't pushed off that yet.
What is a position that what is a, an opinion that has
an been opinion that's fortified. Been fortified? Yes.
I think I'm a little bit linebacker is really hard, but I think my expectations for N'Kobe Dean this year have been a little bit fortified that, like, I don't think he's stepping in and he's going to be like a borderline Pro Bowl caliber Mike, like some people are expecting. I think linebacker is going to be a real issue for this defense this season. N'Kobe's been, you know, he hasn't been bad. He's been all over. He's been doing lots of different stuff, but I don't think that he's necessarily going to be an impact player. We've had pads for one day. I'm not really like looking down on anything he's done. And, you know, the Christian Ellis, Nicholas Morrow dance is interesting, but it's a dance between Christian Ellis and Nicholas Morrow for the second linebacker spot. Like that sort of tells you where things are. I think if there is a soft spot on the team, I think that's definitely where it is. And I think it may be a kind of thing that gets exposed from time to time.
That's fair. And I haven't seen so much from Dean yet to say the confidence that I had in him has been validated. Frankly, the way I talk about Dean is based on watching him at Georgia. I mean, it's not based on anything I've seen with the Eagles yet. So curious to see that. Still think that's a position that Howie can address, but I don't think that's replacing Dean. I think that's complementing Dean. I think the second spot, the Christian Ellis, Nicholas Morrow spot, that's a position they can look to upgrade. But I hear you there. My answer to this, and you probably know where I'm going with this, buy your DeAndre Swift stock now. You have some people saying this is going to be the Kenny Gainwell show. You have some people saying, oh, Rashad Penny, buy your DeAndre Swift stock now. The Eagles are going to use Swift. They're going to get him the ball in space in the passing game. He's going to play a lot for the Eagles, and he's going to have a key role. As long as he's healthy, you're going to see a lot of number zero on the field. I thought that going into camp, and the first three practices are essentially passing camp. I get that. If you said to me after the first 3 days, who are some of the standouts in camp, I would have said DeAndre Swift. So buy your DeAndre Swift stock now.
Yeah, I mean, my instinct is to disagree a little bit, but
I know that. Yeah.
Listen, you know, if this is your Bradbury, if this is your Josh Sweat call, who am I? Who am I to doubt you?
By the way, I was thinking about that. When you said, like, you know, when I made the distinction that my guys tend to be the ones who are high atop the roster, right?
Yeah.
Which is much easier to pick, right, than the camp crush. But also 2021, I was saying, like, man, Javon Hargrave. I was all to the point that I literally booked the flight to Charlotte knowing that I'm going to do a Javon Hargrave story because this guy's going to have a big year. Okay. And, yeah, so – Yeah,
this is your track record. I still am very Swift skeptical, but
okay.
Well,
your opinion will change swiftly once they start playing.
Okay.
You see what I did there?
He did not do a great job in blitz pickup today. They had a running back blitz pickup job. Well, listen, if he's going to be on the field on all these passing downs, he's got to be able to block a guy.
I mean, do you pay him to pick up the blitz or do you pay him to make plays?
I'm not paying him anything. He's in the open market.
So someone says Zach was also big on Malik Jackson. Yeah, Malik Jackson got hurt in week one that year.
Like, good call, though, Gene. I like that. Yeah, thank you. We need Malik somebody Jackson. Holding this guy accountable.
Yeah. Well, no, Malik Jackson got hurt literally against Washington week one.
Yeah, so?
So I actually like that one.
Okay. All right.
2020, what is I didn't have anyone in 2020 that I was high on, which is probably –
just Goodell. You put your trust in the man to get us through the season, and boy, did he pay off.
I did want them to play that year. I cared very deeply about having a job, and I thought it'd be harder to do the job without but like the 2020 season is I'm almost like this kid. You know when Howie acts sometimes like they deserve a mulligan for the 2020 season? I understand everyone was under the same conditions, but I kind of feel like I don't remember a lot that happened in the 2020 season.
Yeah, neither do I. All right, what is my opinion that is still to come?
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of chalk, and we've already talked about it, but I think this one's sort of easy for me. It's Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith to a separate degree. I think Nolan Smith has had the best start of those three guys, but we've already talked about it's set up for that to be the case given the structure of camp so far. I am still, you know, bullish on Jalen Carter as a player. I'm still like long-term bullish on Jordan Davis as a productive member of the team. But I'm not ready to say that they're like blowing the doors off people in camp thus far. I want to see how they do in real practices as they go on. I want to see how they do in the joint practices. Let's see if they do anything in the preseason. Let's wait and see a little bit. That's all. And we've also talked about it's a position where it often takes time.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't have a strong opinion on either of them. I do think Jordan Davis is going to play a bigger role than he did last year. That's not saying much, right? He didn't play a big role last year. But I still feel as if Jalen Carter is going to be the best D tackle at the end of the season. But that's just based on an opinion I had before camp. That hasn't changed one way or the other. My answer to this question is more big picture, but I don't think the Eagles scheme is going to look that much different this year defensive scheme. Yeah, defensive scheme. And if you said to me, like, what have you learned about Sean Desai's defense? I haven't learned much yet. Nothing. Right. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. You know, I haven't, I mean, so far,
I think we saw our first three safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Evans was in there. Right.
Mm. Yeah. Is it Justin Evans or is it Evan Justin's?
It's Justin. Have you met a Justin's? Have you met anyone with the last name Justin's?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know everyone's last name I've ever met, so it's possible.
Okay. I don't think that the size scheme is going to look so radically different than Gannon. I just think it's going to be marketed differently than Gannon, if you will, right? Which the marketing power is going to be very strong. But
no Google results for Evan Justin's, unfortunately.
There you go. But I haven't seen anything yet. You know, I've gotten a few texts. What can you tell me about the size defense? I can't tell you much about the size defense right now. It looks like the defense I've watched in the past, just with different personnel, linebacker and safety.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Why do you think Brian Schottenheimer is texting me?
Because he wants to know about the size defense.
No, I haven't. No.
It's Kafka?
It's not Kafka.
Big swig. Is Scott Turner still the OC or did he get fired?
He got fired. He's in Vegas now.
Just playing craps? Or?
No, he's with the Raiders. He's with the Raiders. So in any event, I think
Kyle Shanahan?
I wish Kyle Shanahan was texting me. I would learn so much.
Telling you about how awesome he is?
He is a really good coach.
I guess. Try to keep a quarterback healthy for once. Protect the main thing, you know, one time.
I don't dispute you there. So that's our first rendition of
Pelican Brief.
The training camp debrief. Yeah, the Pelican debrief. Did you like that game?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay. Your voice.
Next time I gotta write down my answers ahead of time. That'll be
okay.
That was good.
Now, all right, Zach, it's like when someone lands a game on your desk before you, yeah, like right before the show. Or in real time.
Okay. Yeah. Last thing we got to get to, because I teased it on Twitter. Everybody's very curious. You know, we had our Brian Johnson press conference this morning, and it concludes, and practice is about to begin. And you announce to the assembled media corps that you are about to do something that you have never done before in 12 years on the beat, as you are frozen in a very funny position. Oh no.
Am I still
Did we
frozen?
Lose him? I think I hear you now. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me jump out and jump back in.
Wow. What drama? What suspense? Yeah. This is very exciting. And I think the viewers here on YouTube will be especially impressed at the state of Zach's hair when you find out what he's got.
So I did not make an announcement, Bo. There were no announcements made.
Someone... Now, for the record, this is an audio exclusive, because as you hopped off, we had to end the stream. So the people who were in the live chat are going to be very curious. They're going to think this was a big-time cliffhanger. But on the audio stream, we are giving you the full details of Zach's big announcement.
There is no announcement. I wore a hat at practice today. Someone remarked, "You're wearing a hat," or a hat. And I said, and I volunteered information that I probably should not have, considering Bo was within proximity. And that was a first time in 12 years. Now, I will clarify that it's not my first time wearing a hat like in 12 years. I wear hats all the time. I wear it every day, typically. I wear it when we travel. And I wore it to practice during the COVID year. I haven't worn a hat.
Oh, you did it in the COVID year.
Yeah.
Now, why was that different? Because there were no interactions?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But so then why did you say the first time in 12 years?
Well, it occurred to me when I knew you were going to bring this up. And I just wanted to make sure that I was not making a false statement. So... But at training camp practices, I typically don't wear hats. I wore a hat today, and I'm probably selectively wear hats going forward.
That was because a good looking hat.
I'm pretty mindful of the sun. I'm trying to be mindful of the sun, right? Like I'm not naive to know that the sun can be dangerous, and I'm trying. You know, I wear sunscreen, but a hat can always help. And that's the extent of it. To not expect it to be podcast fodder, but that's the extent of it.
And how did it go for you? Did you feel?
I did not expect it to be a topic of conversation. But yeah, it felt fine.
You must have showered because your hair is looking great right now.
No, I did not shower.
That is hat hair?
No, I threw some water at the sink in.
Oh, you got some product.
Yeah. No, this is water. This is
That's
literally
just water.
Yeah, I just threw That's it in.
Looks great.
Oh, nice of you to say. Thank you.
You changed your shirt, though.
No, this is what I wore at camp today.
That was the shirt you wore at camp today?
Yes. Yes, this is the shirt I wore at camp today.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, if you see any videos of the practice and you see a really short guy standing a few yards away from Bo and Shield together, that's me in this shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you?
I wasn't watching practice with Shield.
We'll save it for another time.
The joke I was going to make was that I wore a hat so I can tip my cap to you because you're kind of like a dignitary at these practices.
This projection is too much.
No, I'm saying hello to the fans, the security guards. It's not like
shout out to Herman, the service member who told us he's a big fan of the pod, who lives in Philadelphia, who said hi to us on Sunday. Great to meet Herman.
Yeah, grateful to meet you and grateful for your service.
Yes. All right, Zach, I think that'll do it for this episode. We will be back on Thursday and Friday this week. I think on Thursday we can get into Anthem Gate and your perspective on that. And then whatever else is going on with the Eagles. So
we should also give like a – Maybe we can do 5 minutes at some point these next two pods on the Kelly Green, because I hear some writers poo-pooing this. Like, this is something fans genuinely care about, and if fans care about, we should address it. So
I think it's exciting. I think mm-hmm. they look great.
Yeah, I agree. They look great.
I wish they had chosen one division game and not just two AFC East games for those. I mean, I get there's the Dolphins is Sunday Night Football.
And the Bills is a national.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. But it would have been nice if one of those was a rivalry game.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway is, as I hear from people, I mean, no surprise here, but I mean, Michael Rubin is one of the worst people in the world. I mean, like all of these delays, and
I'm not gonna fulfill these orders. I'm not
like,
sign up
what,
for that.
What did I you mean, expect? Their product is terrible. Their infrastructure is terrible. This guy has built this monopoly. He's throwing these parties, celebrating himself with all these like these wonderful videos. He can't get anything done. He is like made every apparel, like everyone's life who wants to buy stuff worse.
I mean, Michael Rubin's done a lot for criminal justice reform. I don't know how much Michael Rubin's like ear to the ground on the Eagles Kelly Green jerseys.
Well, his business stinks, then how about that?
I think have some people gotten – I think I saw the Hurts ones are coming in. The other players, it's a little harder. The question I was going to have for you, I don't want to get into a Michael Rubin conversation.
You're a friend of the billionaire.
I'm not going to address that either. I wanted to know, do you think when you watch the games – or not watch, when you go to the games, is it going to be more Kelly Green or Midnight Green?
Oh, like regular games?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I think it would still be midnight.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think there will be plenty. I do like, I mean, certainly the numbers will be easier to read.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been saying for a few years that the Eagles should refresh their uniforms. And I understand there's a process in place that you need to do it. Like, I think, it's been over 25 years with these uniforms. I think it's been 27 years, right? They can do better with the numbers. But also, just from like a marketing perspective, I'm not saying come out with a new uniform every 2-3 years. Like, that's not fair to the fans. But man, if you come out with a new uniform, like, every decade, a refresh, people are going to go, they're going to buy it, they're going to get excitement, so
they're going to have to wait like an extra 4 months than they expected. But
well, the one thing I'll say is like, you had to figure there was going to be demand for this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But there's a lot. And like, I saw Dave Spadaro had a piece on PhiladelphiaEagles.com about like behind the Calgary uniforms. And he said that Nike didn't have this. Is it Pantone? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Nike didn't have this in their Pantone, which really surprised me. Like, Boston Celtics, I guess this is a specific type of Kelly Green here, but that certainly surprised me.
Hmm. Okay. I feel like that's something maybe we need a fan's perspective on. We can
we'll open it up on the next pod.
There you go. All right. For Zach and Kent and Michael, Zach's boy, we thank you for listening. We will talk to you on Thursday. And as always, we love you.
Birds with friends. Birds with friends.